again, could I just thank you also for your prayers for the outreach down in Galway City yesterday. We're down there with the team and just pray for that. That whole city has been visited now with the gospel on three consecutive Saturdays. And we thank God for that. There's a meeting planned there for tomorrow night. Pray for that and pray that the Lord will bring folks in under the sound of God's word and bless his cause and his kingdom there in that city as well. We're going to turn, please, to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And with God's word open before us, let us bow together, please, just in a short word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we return Thee thanks for Thy presence in this meeting. And we just pray, O God, that Thou would intensify that sense of Thy presence. Lord, fill our hearts today with joy and gladness as we hear the word of God. And Lord, speak to our souls, O God, we pray. Lord, may we each one hear that voice saying, this is the way, and walk ye therein. Lord, lead us and guide us into all truth. Lord, show us the things of Christ. And show us the way Thou would want us to live and be a witness for Thee as the people of God, even in this corner of Thy vineyard. And Lord, for any in this meeting today and they're not saved, through Thy word, O God, show them their great need of salvation. Bring them this day to that place of saving faith and saving trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, to this end, cleanse me afresh in the precious blood. Empty me, O God, of self and of sin. Fill me, Lord, afresh with the Holy Ghost and with the power of God. Be unto us all that we would need and require, Lord, for this season we ask. And bless Thy truth, O God, we pray, to every heart and soul, as Thou would see the need, we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, our text for today is the final words of verse number 5 of 2 Timothy chapter number 4, where Paul here speaks to Timothy. He says, make full proof of thy ministry. Make full proof of thy ministry. Now, speaking of our Savior, the hymn writer said, I would not leave his service. It is so sweet and blessed. And in the weariest moments, he gives the truest rest. And such words remind us that every believer is saved to serve the Lord. And we are reminded of that same truth by the words of our text from Paul to Timothy in verse 5 of this chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. When he says here, make full proof of thy ministry. And by those words, Paul was encouraging Timothy to fulfill his ministry and fulfill his service for God. Yes, Timothy was to be a faithful witness for Christ till his dying day. He was not to neglect or leave off his service for God and the work that God had given to him, and the work in particular that God had placed into his hands for his stewardship here in life. Now, these words are also applicable to every believer, to every child of God, to every one of us who are saved by the grace of God in this meeting this morning. Yes, God has a work for all of his blood-bought and born-again people to do and to be involved in. And in fulfilling that task, he gives his people different gifts. He gives them different talents and abilities. And using those God-given gifts and talents and abilities, the believer is to make full proof of his ministry and of his service. In other words, the Christian is to fulfill their service that God has given to them. No Christian is to neglect their work for God. No Christian is to leave the service of God that God has placed into their hands and that God has given to them to fulfill here on earth until the Lord comes or till the Lord calls them home to glory. Now, to help and to encourage Timothy to fulfill his ministry, God here in this chapter instructs Paul to outline to Timothy three important truths for Timothy to remember. Those are found in our Bible reading this morning. And these truths are given by God through Paul to Timothy to encourage him to make full proof of his ministry, to fulfill his service, and the work that God would have him to do. And it's those same truths that I want us to consider and to look at for a little while this morning. And in looking at them, I trust and I pray that every believer in Christ in this church, in this congregation here this morning, will also be encouraged to fulfill our ministry and our service that God has given to us here in this scene of time. What then were these truths that Paul outlined to Timothy? Well, first of all, we can say this morning that fulfilled service for God, it means the believer considering the times in which he lives and the times in which he serves God. Notice carefully what Paul said to Timothy in verses 3 and 4 of this chapter. He says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Now, people, these words are prophetically true of the day and generation in which you and I live in and find ourselves in today. And dear believer in Christ, if you and I are to serve the Lord faithfully, then it's important that we understand and have an insight regarding the times and regarding the seasons in which we live and which God has called us to the kingdom for at this particular time. Yes, this age in which we live is an age of apostasy when many are turning away from the truth of God's word. Today is a day whenever good is called evil, and whenever evil is called good. That's the spirit of our world today in which we live. You think today of the awful rise of the sin of sodomy. Think of the awful rise of the sin of abortion, the murder of unborn children. Think of the decaying morals in our society, the breakup of family life, crime on every hand. It's the spirit of decadence spiritually in the age in which we live. By and large, in our society today, many no longer heed or have any time for God's word. Multitudes today are embracing error and false religion. Many today are taken up with the lie and the falsehood of evolution. The perilous times that Paul warned of in chapter 3 and verse 1, they have arrived, they have come. You and I are living in dark days spiritually in our land and in our nation. Turn with me back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and to the verses 13 to 15 of the chapter. And here you see the Apostle Paul warning of false apostles who were in fact the servants and the emissaries of Satan. Notice how he warns of such. Verses 13 and to 15 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is of no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." And there Paul warns of such who will profess to be ministers of light when in actual fact by their life and by their witness and their testimony they are the ministers of darkness, the servants of Satan. Again, you think of the words of warning from Paul's letter to the Galatians in Galatians 1 and verse 8. There he warns of those who preach a false gospel. And he says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, let him be accursed." And there he warns of those who will preach and present to man a false gospel that is not of God, that is not of the Bible. And he says, "Let him be accursed. The curse of God is upon such." Again, you think of the words of the prophet Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 5 and the verse 31, there he warns of prophets, he says, who prophesy falsely. And then he makes this sad comment, and God's people love to have it so. Oh, dear people of God, this is the day and age in which you and I live. Yes, there are many today in pulpits across our land, and they deny the Bible as God's infallible word. They deny the biblical account of creation, that God created this world in 6 literal days. There's many today, and they say the 10 commandments have no longer any relevance in our society. We can live as we please. We can do as we please. There are many today, and they deny the virgin birth of Christ. They deny the reality of heaven and hell. They say just once you live in the scene of time, that's it. There's nothing more. They deny the fact that man is born into this world a fallen, depraved sinner in the sight of God. Why, they deny the need of the new birth. They deny the need of necessity of repentance toward God and saving faith and trust in Christ alone for salvation. There are many today, and they deny the power of Christ's blood alone to atone for sin. And they reject the gospel of Christ that declares, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. That's the spirit and the age in which we live. Yes, there's such, and they will tell you that if a man is to have a right relationship with God, oh, he must be baptized to become a child of God, or he must be confirmed. Or he must depend upon his religion or his good works. My, there's many today, and they will tell you, man can worship God whatever way he pleases. Doesn't matter. As long as he is sincere in his form of worship, then that's just okay. And my, there are many, and my, they completely reject the teaching and the lessons of God's holy word. And sadly, such teaching is leading countless souls out into a lost, Christless eternity, because the Bible declares the soul that sinneth, it shall die. People, this is the mark of the times in which we live today. O child of God, the Lord has called you and I to the kingdom for such a time as this. And in this evil age, God has saved you and I for a purpose, to be His witnesses, to be His servants, to stand up like John of old for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Yes, you can look out in the world today and you can see a dark picture spiritually. But child of God, don't get downhearted. Don't let that cause you to cease from your service and your witness for Christ. Believer, you and I in this dark world, and I tell you, the world will get much darker before our Lord returns. It's all in the Word of God. But in this dark world in which you and I live, you and I are to shine for Christ. We're to hold forth the Word of life. We're to shine as bright lights for God and for Christ in a dark and in an evil world. And this was the truth that Paul was wanting underscored in the heart of Timothy. Timothy says, remember the age in which you live and serve the Lord. Don't let that hold you back from going on with God and serving Christ. Dear child of God, let that truth be etched in your heart and your soul today. Yes, we live in ungodly times. We live in dark times. But do not let that hold you back from standing for God, for living for Christ, and doing His will. You think of Noah today. Noah was a preacher of righteousness in a most dark and evil and ungodly world. Yet he stood out for God. He stood up for Christ. God blessed him. And God used him. Yes, Paul instructs Timothy to remember the season which he has been called to serve the Lord. Let us also remember that. Notice something else here this morning. Fulfilled service for God also means the believer proclaiming and spreading God's holy word. Look at what Paul says to Timothy in particular in verse 2 and also in the middle of verse 5 of our Bible reading this morning. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and the verse number 2, he says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Notice what he says in verse 5. He says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Now, we can say this morning that in serving God in this evil world, every believer is to live a godly life. In Titus chapter 2 in the verse 10, it speaks there of the Christian in this world, speaks of God's people and says they are to show all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. As we were speaking in the Bible class this morning, the Christian's life is to be marked by good works. We are saved unto good works. The believer in this ungodly world is to live out before others a godly life, a life that agrees with God's word, a life that glorifies Christ. But as well as that, in this ungodly world, as Christians, you and I are to do all we can to proclaim God's word and to spread God's word, especially the good news of the gospel. That's what Paul was saying to Timothy in verse 2. He says, preach the word, Timothy. Be instant in season and out of season. You know that little, notice that little phrase, they're out of season. That little phrase, they're out of season, it means the preaching of God's word is no longer popular with the people or with the masses. And that's how it is today, by and large, in our society. Well, irrespective of the season, irrespective of what people think or say, the Church of Christ, the Lord's own people, are not to be slack in preaching God's word and in spreading God's word and in proclaiming God's truth. Brethren and sisters in Christ, let me say this morning, if you and I as God's people in this day and age in which we live, if we are to make full proof of our ministry, both individually and collectively as an assembly or a congregation of God's people, then as believers, we must be zealous in proclaiming and spreading God's word at every opportunity that comes our way. This is why it is so important that we have a Sunday school that teaches our children and the children that come in here the Word of God. This is why it's so important to have children's meetings, to bring children in under the sound of God's Word, to teach them the Word of God. This is why it is so important in our youth meetings that we teach the Word of God to our young people, and in all our services we do all we can to proclaim and spread God's Word. This is God's command to you and I as believers, to you and I as a congregation this morning, when he says here in verse 2, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, irrespective of the day and age in which we live. You and I as God's people are to do all we can to spread and to proclaim God's holy word. This is if we are to be a New Testament church. Now, there are many churches today, they're not New Testament churches because they've cast aside the Word of God. A New Testament church is one that gives the preaching of God's Word central place in all of its activities and services and witness for God. You turn with me back to Acts chapter 5 and the verse number 42. And here you read of the early church and look at their spirit regarding the Word of God. Acts chapter 5 and the verse number 42. These were days of persecution for them. Yet it says of them, and daily they were in the temple and in every house and their homes as well. Notice what it says. They ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They did not hold back from spreading and teaching and making knowing the gospel. Turn over, please, to Acts chapter 26, and you'll see this was so in the life of Paul as an individual, right to his dying day, from the day he was saved. Acts chapter 26, verses 22 and 23. Here he is before King Agrippa. Again, he's on trial for his faith. Yet he says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Notice it. Witnessing both to small and to great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Paul never held back from being a witness for the Lord, for spreading the gospel and the truth of God's word. It was the mark of the early New Testament church. Turn over again to 1 Thessalonians. Just over a little bit again in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And look at Paul's commendation of the church in Thessalonica. In particular in verse 8. And this was a church that was born out of adversity. Out of intense persecution for their faith. And their adherence to the gospel. And look at what he says about them as a church in verse 8 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. He says, for from you, notice it, sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Well, he says, from you has sounded forth the word of the Lord. Oh, if we were to have a testimony of as a church, that's the testimony I would want. That we would be a congregation of people that sounded forth the word of God. That's what's important, dear people, in church life, in the work of God, in the service of Christ, the sounding forth of God's word. There's nothing more important for any church, any believer, than to spread and proclaim and make known the gospel, the mysteries of Christ, the great truths of God's holy word. Might has rightly been said that the Christian is called to be a witness. And God has saved you and I as His people. He's brought us into a family to be a witness for Him. And dear people, if we are to be a true New Testament church, this is to be our mark. This is to be our standard. This is to be our benchmark. We must not be slothful. We must not hold back in the proclamation and in the spreading of God's word. Yes, with all our might, with all our gifts, with all our abilities and talents, we should seek to further the going forth of God's word. That's our mandate today from God. How can we do that? We can help that by our praying. We can help that by our giving. We can help spread the gospel from this church and further afield by doing all we can, even in a practical matter, to get the word of God out, giving out a tract, giving out an invitation, supporting the meetings, bringing others in under the sound of the gospel. When an opportunity comes our way to do something for God and spread His word, His truth, let us not hold back and say, oh, that's for someone else. Child of God, that's a work for you and I, for all of us to do as the people of God. Let us not be negligent. Let us not be found wanting in the spreading forth of God's word. And you might say, well, preacher, why is this so important? Well, Paul gives you the answer to that question in the remainder of verse 2 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at what he says there. He says, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Notice what he goes on to say. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. That's why the spread and the preaching of God's word is so vital, so important. You think of that word reprove. What does it mean? It basically means this. God uses His word to reprove and to convict sinners of their sin and their lost condition before God. Think of that word rebuke there. What does it mean in the context? It really means to show people the error of sin, the error of their sinful lives and the way that they're living contrary to God. Notice the word exhort. What does it mean there? It really means how God encourages people through His word to repent of their sins before God. That's the message of the Bible. What does the word doctrine mean there? It really means teaching. The word of God shows the Christian how to live the Christian life. That's our manual for living the Christian life. Go down there to verse 5. There you have the word evangelist. He said to Timothy, he says, do the work of the evangelist. That comes from the word evangel, which reminds us of the good news of the gospel. how people can be saved from their sins and a lost eternity in hell by them repenting of their sin and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ by faith as their Savior. Dear believer, that's why it's so important that you and I do not hold back from spreading the Word of God and doing all we can to bring the Word of God to our children, to the young people, and to the older generations of our society. Because if the Word of God is hidden, an awful darkness descends upon the hearts of those who do not hear the Word of God. How are we to proclaim and how are we to spread the Word of God? Look again at verse 2. Notice what Paul said to Timothy there. He says, preach the Word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Notice what he says, with all long-suffering. That means patience. You and I are to be patient in the spreading, the sowing of God's Word. Think of the farmer. He sows the seed in springtime. He is patient. He waits to the sure and certain harvest. You need to be patient, dear believer, in the work of God. Notice something else what he says there in verse 5. He speaks of vigilance. He says, but watch thou in all things. Be watchful against error, that which is contrary to God's word, and hold forth the word of life. And then he speaks of endurance. He says, there endure afflictions. That means of perseverance, preserving on, going on, continuing on. Dear believer, what's the thought here for you and I as Christians and as a church? Until the Lord Jesus Christ comes, until He calls us home to glory, we have a responsibility to do all we can to proclaim and to spread God's Word. This is how we make full proof of our ministry. We must remember the seasons in which we're living. We must pray, preach and spread the Word of God. This is to be central in all our activities as a church. But notice one final thought this morning. Fulfilled service for God, it means the believer remembering that his life is accountable to God. In living for Christ in this world, the believer must remember that God's all-seeing eye is upon his life and upon his service. Look at what Paul says to Timothy at the beginning of verse 1. He says, I charge thee, Timothy, therefore before God, and the Lord Jesus Christ. What was Paul telling Timothy? He was reminding him there that God saw his service and saw his life. In Hebrews 4, it says neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. All things are seen by God. Why, there's many of a little child. They will do their best whenever mommy or daddy is watching, or ever the eye of their teacher is upon them in their school. Well, believer, in all our service for God, let us remember this. God is watching. God's eye is upon our service. And may that thought motivate us to serve God as Christians with no less than our best. Paul said here to Timothy, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice something else as well as remembering the scrutinizing eye of God. The believer must also remember that a day is coming when his service will be examined by God and his service will be judged by God. And let me say this morning, the believer can never be judged for his sin. For the judgment of his sin was meted out upon Christ on the cross when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? However, the believer's work will be judged by God. And it will be examined by God. When will that take place? When Christ returns. Look at what Paul goes on to tell Timothy in the latter part of verse 1 of the chapter. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. The Bible says to the Christian in Romans chapter 14 verse 10, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That speaks of the believer's service being judged and examined by the Lord. Turn with me back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and the verses 11 to 15, and you'll read of it there as Paul writes to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verses 11 to 15. And he says in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 3, he says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest." Speaking of the work of the believer. "For the day shall declare," that's the day of Christ's return, "because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he have built thereon," notice it, "he shall receive a reward." What's the Lord telling us there? He's telling us that our reward in heaven as God's people will be in proportion to how faithful we've been to the service of God and the testimony of God's word here on earth. Our reward in heaven will be in accordance with our faithfulness on earth to Christ. Look at what Paul says in verse number 8 of the same chapter, in the latter part of that verse. He says, "And every man shall receive his own reward," notice it, "according to his own labor." Dear Christian, why should you and I be faithful for God in our day and generation? The Lord's eye is upon us. There's a day when Christ is coming back again. And our reward in heaven as God's people will be in accordance to how faithful we have been to God here on earth. Oh, child of God, let us not live for self. Let us not live for the world. Let us not live to please men or please the flesh. Rather, let us live to please God, so that we might hear that word of commendation from the very lips of Christ when he returns again. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." You think of an athlete this morning running a race. Their eye is upon the prize. Their eye is upon the finish line. Oh, Christian, in all your service for God, live in the light of Christ's return. Live in the light of the hope of glory and the reward of heaven. "And now you shall receive a crown of righteousness," the Bible says, "which fadeth not away." You remember what the hymn writer says, "Onward to the prize before us. Soon his beauty we'll behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. Soon we'll tread the streets of gold." Christian, you and I are only pilgrims here. We're only sojourners here. We're not to live for time. We're to live for eternity. You think of what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount. And he was speaking specifically there to Christians, to God's people. He talks about God's people laying up treasure in heaven and being rich toward God and not laying up treasure on earth where moth and rust and thieves break through and steal. What was he saying there to the church of Christ and to God's people? Live not for the world. Live for Christ. Live for eternity. For only that which is done for God will last. You know, if you're unsaved here in the meeting, there's a warning here for you. As we think of Christ's return and Christ's day of judgment, yes, there's a judgment for you as well, dear unsaved friend. There's the great white throne judgment. And when that takes place, if you're found unsaved out of Christ, you'll be brought before the Lord, the judge of all the ages. And you will account for your life. You'll account for your sin. You will account for what you've done with Christ and what you've done with the gospel. If you're found that day unsaved out of Christ, you will hear that awful sentence from the lips of Christ, "Depart from me, I know you not." The Bible says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." We're all pilgrims. We're all sojourners. Unsaved friend, man, woman, young person, are you ready for heaven? Are you saved? Are you washed in the blood? Are you born again of the Spirit of God? Oh, dear Christian, live in the light of eternity. Live in the light of Christ's return. Let us seek to have the approval, the commendation of God upon our life and upon our witness for the Master. We're going to close our meeting this morning.